I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, top of the hour to you, San Diego. Welcome back to the program. Chris Ellum, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris hanging with you on 97.3 The Fan until 7 o'clock this evening. This hour brought to you by San Diego BMW Centers through November the 2nd. Lease a 2020 BMW X5 S-Drive 40i for $669 a month. For 36 months, with $5,094 due at signing, contact a San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. Phone number, let me get it out to you, 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. And of course, we got a couple of spots and slots open there to play a little Chris versus the fans. I heard that Tony versus the fans was a rousing success for Mr. Gwynn. Is that correct, Scraby, while I was gone?
It definitely is correct. I thought I was going to get some time to not have to do any questions, but that wasn't the case. I had to do a bunch of questions.
Tony was coming through,
yes,
huh?
He got a bunch of them right.
It became my mission to make him have to do more questions, regardless of whether you're here.
You were highly motivated.
I was.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to have a couple off days not to do questions, and that took it personally.
I think that's the way to take it. I certainly like to make Scraby work extra hard, and that is why I like to come up with the answers as much as possible. Had a little rest, though. We'll see if the mind is clicking today as we get into the program and get into the segment right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All you have to do is win, and you will get a Padres prize package. Includes a Padre hat, fleece blanket, mask, tote bag, all courtesy of the San Diego Padres. Scraby, what are the rules?
Well, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or you win. Tony's got panic face going on.
I don't like panic face.
I don't either. He's not in the dock, so I think that's the issue.
So I'm not in the dock. Yes, I wasn't. I was paying attention to something else.
So oh,
the face
oh,
you were
oh.
looking at had nothing necessarily to do with the game.
Okay.
We had panic face. Hey, you know what? We're only a couple of weeks away from what I understand, maybe being back in studio?
That is correct.
If all goes to plan.
So looking forward to that.
Do not jinx it for us.
How did I jinx it?
I just feel like sometimes when you bring things up, not you specifically, but just when you put it
in
the
universe. Oh, no. I can jinx things pretty well.
Well,
people don't understand who read all my pro-Dodger tweets at the beginning of the World Series. They don't understand how I operate, Tony. I wanted to pump up the Dodgers with the sole idea being to make sure that I would look bad at the end and they would lose.
And we did say that
on the air. And you'd have your ultimate happiness at that.
That's right. So people, you know, I really took some bullets. I took some serious bullets on that tweet. But, you know, it is what it is. It is funny, though, to be lambasted for being too much of a Dodger fan, because that's the last thing I've ever been. I mean, I've been criticized for just about everything I've ever said in the history of my sports talk radio career, but being too much of a Dodger fan, that's a first.
Yeah, someone tagged me in your tweet and said, come get your boy. And I said, and I just sent back a GIF of me leaving the room as fast as possible because I wanted nothing to do with that tweet.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do some Chris versus the fans and introduce the master of ceremonies for the program, Mr. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Well, all right. Scrape, why don't you give us the rules here, buddy?
We already did.
Oh, we did. All right,
yes,
cool.
We did. Yeah.
All right, well, Berto.
We gave the rules while you had panic face.
that's true. All right.
Berto, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday to you. Good luck to you.
Hey, Berto.
Thanks, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. All right, here we go. First question. This is a little bit of what Scraby likes to call a potpourri. So a little bit of everything. And the first question is, how many sides does a trapezoid have?
Oh. Let's go with five.
He's going with five, ladies and gentlemen. That is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
Trapezoid is kind of a weird-looking square. So it has four.
Chris says four.
Sorry, Berto.
That is correct. Back to the drawing board. All right, Christina joins us here on this Tuesday. Christina, thanks for calling in. Happy Tuesday to you.
Thank you. You too.
Hi, Christina.
All right, here we go. First question. What is the mascot's name? Who is made of a bunch of tires?
The Tire Man? I don't know.
The Tire Man.
The Tire Man. I don't know that Chris
tire
knows
man
this one.
Is incorrect. Chris, the hell is steel.
The Rubber Man? I don't have any idea.
The
what?
Rubber Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is also incorrect. Christina, you will advance to the next round. The answer is the Michelin Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whatever.
All right.
He is a man made of tires.
He is a man made of tires. That's correct.
That's pretty much how you describe him. All right. Round number two. Russell Wilson is married to what pop star?
Sierra.
That is correct.
Wow. Man, that was right up Christina's alley, man.
And guess what? Guess what? Russell
Christina
Wilson lost on Sunday, which was also his wife's birthday. So,
That's something to laugh about, Scrape?
You didn't want her to have
that's what
Seahawk
haters do.
He's a
that's
Seahawk.
What haters do.
He's a Seahawk.
Haters. All right, haters. Here we go. Question number three, Christina, your chance to win. The Buffalo Bills hold the record of four consecutive Super Bowl losses. There are two other franchises that have lost back-to-back Super Bowls. Name one of the two.
I have no idea.
You don't even want to give a guess?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Again, the Buffalo Bills hold the record for four consecutive Super Bowl losses. There are two other franchises that have lost back-to-back Super Bowls. Name one of the two.
I really don't know.
Just say
I'm
a football team.
I'll say Chargers.
Wolf, Chargers is incorrect.
Stay there, though. This is a
Chris
tough one.
This is a tough one, but I go back to my old days of Super Bowl 8 and 9, which were both lost by the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, gosh.
And I believe that the Broncos are the other one.
Oh, good job.
He went ahead and named
sorry,
both
Christina.
Of them. Christina, sorry.
It's okay.
Thanks for competing.
Thanks, Christina.
Can I repeat again?
Can you say something real quick?
Absolutely.
To Tony Jr., I love your dad. I grew up watching him, and I actually met him. In elementary school, I was best friends with Brett Bochy. And I just want to say how humble and amazing you are, just like your father.
I certainly appreciate that.
Wow.
That was nice, Christina.
Why didn't you mention, Chris?
I'm sorry now. I feel terrible.
Thank you, Christina. Call back anytime.
I always have to be the bad guy.
You too.
Thanks, Christina.
Yeah, you know, we could have missed one for her, but that's how the show goes sometimes. We'll move to our next contestant. Jose, welcome to Gwen and Chris. I should say welcome back, Jose. How are you doing today, my man?
You're good. How about you guys?
What's up, Jose?
We're doing well. Here we go. First question. Scraby's really into tires today. What tire company sponsors the blimp?
Goodyear.
Goodyear.
Thank you, Jose. I wouldn't be able to handle it if no one got that one.
The Goodrich blimp.
The Goodyear blimp.
Second question, Jose. Scraby, you're on a roll with these questions, man. Double your pleasure, double your fun was a slogan for what gum?
Oh, that's rhyming, too.
Gum? I'm going to say Wrigley's. I have no idea.
Wrigley? That is incorrect, Chris, for the steal.
He's kind of half right, because Double Mint Gum was a Wrigley's product, but I think he's after Double Mint.
So do we give it to him?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, he says. Sorry, Jose, I got overruled. No, wait, no, Chris got a...
Yeah, here we go. Sorry, Jose, call again tomorrow, man. Have another shot at it. All right, let's move to our next contestant, David. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. David, happy Tuesday to you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hi, David.
No problem. Here we go, first question. How many pieces of bun are in a Big Mac?
Three.
Scraby is just all over the joint today.
Good job.
Nice.
Good
nice
job.
Nice work, David. Oh, my Lord. Scraby, these questions are killing me.
That was a good one, though.
It tastes like seven pieces of bun. I don't know if you've had it.
What are you
recently.
Talking about? Sorry, I got a little upset there.
As long as Big Mac doesn't try to do the Halloween thing and make their
buns make it black. Yeah.
Oh my God, that
gross.
Just reminds me of mold all
Ew.
Over the place.
By the way, the most overrated burger in the entire world is a White Castle, because that is all bun.
Easily.
Do not
easily.
Get me started about White Castle.
Easily, I 100% agree.
Just
we might
terrible.
Have to do that as a countdown one day. Most overrated fast food item.
That's
I think
a good
that
one.
One's
yeah.
coming.
White Castle's
people
not on the list.
People love that place, and it's just.
I can't believe
you know
it.
What it's great for? 2 a.m. after you get out of the bar.
Well, yeah, you can't have that.
Just about everything's good at that time.
All right.
Touché. Here we go. Question number two. What is the highest possible number an NFL quarterback can claim?
Nineteen.
That yes. is correct. 19. They cannot go over the number 19.
There are so many rules I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were many quarterbacks back in the day that were higher than that.
Well, Johnny Unitas was 19, right?
Yes. John Hadle, the great Charger quarterback, was number 21.
That's so weird.
You no longer can have that number and be a quarterback.
Yeah, that is, you know, they don't call it the No Fun League for a reason.
That's right.
Here we go. Question number three.
Make a sweep of it, David.
David, what player holds the record for most World Series home runs?
Most World Series home runs? Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, Joe. Joe DiMaggio is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
Is it Randy Rosarena? No, I'm just kidding. Seems like it. Sorry, David. You picked the wrong Yankee slugger. Mickey Mantle had 18.
You did.
All in the World Series.
You did. Sorry, David. That was close.
Mickey Mantle. Yeah, Chris doesn't miss those ones. It's
no,
just a fact.
He doesn't.
We got time for another one or what?
We got, I only have questions for one more.
Sneak one
right,
more.
Well, Tom, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Let's go, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Tom.
Good luck to you, Tom. Here we go. First question. I'm not asking. What
exactly.
month?
Was that toilet humor there?
No, no, not at all.
No, not toilet humor. What month in 1967 was Super Bowl I held in?
December.
He's going for Christmas Super Bowl?
I.
It happened in May, right, Chris?
It was still in January.
All right, I guess we do have one more because that.
All right, we got time for one more. Pete, I hope you're still there.
Uh-oh, Pete's
yes, sir.
All right, Pete, here we go. You're the last contestant of the day. First question.
Oh, the pressure's on.
The pressure is on. I am forced to ask this question now.
This is the one.
What is the lowest jersey number you can choose in the NFL?
The lowest number on a jersey you're talking about, right?
Indeed.
Zero.
Zero. That is incorrect.
Yeah, you're not allowed to choose zero.
Well, gee. could it be one-third?
0.5?
Imagine seeing one-third on the back of a uniform.
You're going to have to go with one, then.
One for the win.
All right.
There it is. Sorry.
Thanks, Pete.
Give us a call tomorrow. That's going to do it for this game of Chris versus the Fan. Chris?
Yes, I guess we'll give an extra prize pack away tomorrow. Something like that.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Or yeah. Well, I kind of just gave it away. So.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, coming back, I'm sorry, you left it for me to lock out of the segment is what you did, and I missed the signal by a mile. Let me
well,
see.
Well, you're just getting back into the swing of things.
We're right. Yes, but I know that Eric Williams is coming on next from SI.com to talk some NFL football. Rams, nice performance last night. Now, guess who they face next, Graby?
The Rams?
The Rams play.
The Seahawks?
Tua.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they said it like 9,000 times on the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
What
so
a
talk,
yeah.
Talk to Eric Williams about the Rams and coming up against Tua's debut and all the rest of that stuff when we come back. Gwynn and Chris, I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn.
.421 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Chris Beck. Happy to have it back. I must say, we don't get a lot of female callers, but certainly do appreciate our lady listeners participating, especially in a game like Chris versus the Fan or for any opening spots you guys want to call. Feel free. We enjoy hearing from all of our listeners, 833-288-0973. That being said, we just watched the Rams pretty much just annihilate the Bears last night in Monday Night Football. They will now take on Tua this coming week. And joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Eric Williams, SportsIllustrated.com, also covers the Rams. We've had Eric on a few times. Eric, thanks for coming on. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tony. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. The Rams, man, they just keep quietly going along about their business, beating up some pretty decent teams, and last night was no different. They take down the 5-1 Bears. Their defense just looks stout, really across the board. Talk about what you're seeing from this team defensively that has, I think, kind of separated them a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. I do think that's the difference, really, when you look at their success a couple years ago and what they're doing right now. I mean, obviously, Wade Phillips is a great defense coordinator, and that defense was pretty good under him, but I feel like they've taken another step in their evolution in terms of what they're doing. They have a new defense coordinator, Brandon Staley. He runs a 3-4 scheme, but it's a little bit different than what they were running in years past. I think they're able to get more consistent pass rush than maybe they did in years past. Obviously, if you have Aaron Donald in there, that's going to do it for you. But they have some other pieces around Aaron I think makes them a little bit more dangerous up front. They got Leonard Floyd from Chicago, and he had a good game against his former team, had a couple sacks. They're also using Jalen a little bit differently than they have in the past. Jalen's mostly been a guy that's played on the perimeter, but in this new system, he's playing in a star position, which basically is a slot defender. So they're putting him inside where he can be more involved in the action, and you can't just stay away from him on the outside. And you're seeing him make plays. He's really been more of an enforcer, laying a lot of big licks in the middle of that defense. And so, again, when you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, two of the best defensive players in the NFL, your defense should be good, and I think they're showing that through the first seven games.
Eric, let me ask you about the Rams in terms of how the league is looking at the Rams. You know, their first four victories were all over the NFC East, and that's been kind of a crazy division, one of the worst divisions of all time. And of course,
you're
the
being
NFC
nice,
West,
Chris.
What's that?
You're being nice. They've been off.
Yeah, they've been absolutely pathetic. But one of the reasons I guess they're so bad is because they're playing all the teams in the NFC West, and the NFC West is very good. Did they need that Bears win last night for a little credibility going forward?
Yeah, you know, I think so, because they really hadn't beat a team with a winning record until Monday, until that Bears team. And I don't even really know how good that Bears team is, to be honest, when you look at what they did offensively. But it does give them a little bit of credibility. I think, you know, people recognize the Bears nationally just because it's kind of one of those NFL teams that people follow, you know, year in, year out. So it does give them a little bit of credibility, but I still feel like they need to beat a team like the Seahawks or the Cardinals, who are playing really well right now, before they kind of jump into that stratosphere of being maybe a top 10 team or being considered a top 10 team. But certainly that Bears win helps. Not only the win, but just the way that they beat the Bears, they thoroughly handled them.
How big is Jalen Ramsey? You mentioned him playing that star spot on the defense in that slot, and he has been kind of the enforcer. He lays helmet like he's a big dude. Yes. Is he that big at the cornerback position?
Yeah. I mean, like, if he was to stand next to Derwin James, they look almost identical. That's how big he is. I mean, he's 6'1", 6'2", 210, 215 pounds, and he's long arms, long legs. That's kind of what he looks like. He really built like a safety, to be honest with you. But he has the movement skills of a corner because he can get in and out of breaks. He's quick as well as being fast. But he plays physical for a guy that size. You know, sometimes you get bigger guys and they don't play like their size indicates, but he plays like that.
Eric, the Rams are playing their fourth game already this season in the Eastern time zone. Notice they've already been to Philadelphia and they won. They've been to Washington and won, and played pretty well in a great game at Buffalo. Now they go into Miami. And Sean McVay, talk a little bit about how he's changed a little bit as a coach, going from the early success in the Super Bowl to kind of coming back to the pack and now seeming to have his mojo back. And do they do anything special when they go east? Because he's had a good record, I think, from what I recall, when he takes his team across the country.
Yeah, he has a good record playing in those early window games in the East Coast. I don't know what it is exactly, but he has had a lot of success. One of the things that they've done this year because of the COVID protocols is they're flying in late. You know, a lot of times on the East Coast, you know, when I cover the Chargers, they fly in Friday and be there a couple days. But because they kind of want to avoid the restrictions that you have when you go on the road, they're flying Saturday and they get in like late Saturday. They're basically there about 24 hours and then they play and they get on the plane and they leave. And so he feels like that's actually helped them have an extra day to sleep in their own bed, that the time difference isn't that much of an issue because you're only there 24 hours. They get a good night's rest on Saturday. They get up early on Sunday, which McVay normally does anyway. He's kind of like John Gruden, guy that doesn't sleep very much and gets up early and goes to work. And they've had a lot of success doing that this year. I asked him if he's going to continue to do that after, you know, next year when COVID, we hope, goes away. He said that's the schedule that they might stick with because they've had a lot of success with it this year.
How about Jared Goff in terms of what you've seen from him? Because you look at his numbers, he's kind of middle of the pack, but he does seem to have this offense going in the right direction and hasn't made some of the mistakes we've seen from him in the past couple years.
Yeah, better than he's been in years past. I think he's a year more mature in that offense, has more command in that offense in terms of pre-snap, where he's going to go with the football. So I think he's a little more decisive in his reads. I think that's helped him play faster, be more efficient. And then I think physically, again, having Kevin O'Connell there as the offensive coordinator, a guy that's played quarterback in the league and played quarterback most of his you know, playing career, I think that's helped him, given an extra set of eyes and another guy he can kind of talk to in terms of his development. Physically, O'Connell has done a great job of kind of building a base for Jared, so he's a more accurate thrower on the run. You see him now, you know, when he gets outside of the pocket, planting his foot and making sure that he's has good body mechanics in terms of throwing the football. Well, that's something he worked on this offseason. And so I think the result is just overall better performance, overall better comfort in terms of throwing the football. And he's done a good job of leading this team.
Little Kevin O'Connell trivia for you. When I did San Diego State football game several years ago with Ted Leitner, our sideline reporter was Kevin O'Connell, if you can believe that, Eric.
Really?
Yeah, he was our sideline reporter and did an excellent job before he got into the coaching ranks. Last thing, obviously, Tua's, you know, the big story weekend, and the NFL, all the eyes of the league will be on Tua. Advantage to the Dolphins because they're starting Tua and the Rams don't have any tape on him, or maybe advantage to the Rams because it's still Tua's first game and he's never seen a big NFL defense as good as Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey before?
Yeah, I always feel like it's an advantage to the defense in terms of the experience, because how many plays can he run just with this being his first NFL start? So you would imagine that the playbook's going to be pretty thin in terms of what he's going to be doing. I do think he has an advantage of a couple weeks of preparation. I think that helps, and I think that was pretty smart of the Dolphins to do that, to give him as many snaps with the first team as possible. But with the ability to disguise, and you have Aaron Donald chasing you for four quarters, you have Jalen Ramsey in the secondary, and their ability to kind of mix things up and complicate things pre-snap, I would think that the Rams have that advantage there in terms of their defense.
Rams looking to stretch their record to 6-2 on Sunday. Eric, as always, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Yep, thank you.
Yep. Eric Williams, SportsIllustrated.com on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. All right, let's step away, pay some bills. When we come back, we have a Big Five, and Scraby is the star. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Quinn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
If you have any Big Five topics, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby and Instagram. You can find Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr. You can find Chris at Chris LOSD. Hey, Chris, by the way, real quick, before we get into this, the other day you saw Todd Gurley go down, right? Before he got into the end zone?
Yes.
How many times can the Falcons find a new way to lose? I'm just watching it on TV right now, and he said he was really mad about it that he scored. And how many times have you seen a football player try to let someone score?
Well, I know the Giants once did that in a Super Bowl game against the Patriots.
Well, that's true.
The guy fell into the end zone and ended up giving Tom Brady one last shot with the ball. You know, I saw that play, and just real quick, my thought was it's getting way too easy to score points in the NFL if teams are trying not to score touchdowns at the other end of the field.
It's a good strategy, I guess, because yeah. You don't want to give Matt Stafford the ball back, and you did. And
no,
he won.
But you did. But I'm just saying, you ought to be able to stop somebody once in a while, and guys shouldn't have to hesitate going into the end zone. But that's the way offense has gotten in the NFL now.
That's very
he
true.
He really did try to stop himself from going.
He did.
Into
yeah,
the end zone.
He did. There's a picture someone memed it and said, "When someone asks you what football is like in 2020, show them this picture." And it's a bunch of Lions guys trying to let him score as he's trying not to score.
Oh, so. Yeah, and then when he got to the end zone, all the Lions guys raised their hands.
Like,
their
touchdown!
Arms. Touchdown! Yeah, he's in. Hey, ref, it's a touchdown.
He's in. Stop the clock.
He scored.
Let's get into someone else, though, who used to be in the NFL.
Number five.
Lane Kiffin, your guys' favorite head coach of the SEC. Actually, not Chris's. His is Nick Saban. But
he's my second favorite.
Yeah, he's the...
I like Lane.
He's kind of funny on Twitter, I will say.
He is kind of funny.
You like him?
He's kind of funny. I mean, he might be a huge jerk, but he's kind of funny.
Okay.
He's the head coach of Ole Miss, and after admitting the SEC had to apologize to him and the school after admitting officials made a mistake in their game against Auburn, Ole Miss led by one with 5:43 left to go, and the kickoff seemed to graze an Auburn player, then bounced through the end zone. The referee called a touchback instead of a fumble, and Kiffin said he was told the play was briefly reviewed and upheld. Auburn went down the field, scored, and dropped Ole Miss to 1-4. The issue here is that Kiffin retweeted a tweet saying SEC officiating was a disgrace, and the SEC then fined him $25,000 for the retweet because you can't criticize officials. And similarly, Brady Hoke was not fined, but there was an issue in the Aztecs game on Saturday night about a touchdown that was overturned, even though it should have been called a touchdown on the field. So they got an apology as well. Chris, being that you are the...
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
Should referees be open to criticism by coaches and fans?
By fans, for sure. Coaches, I can understand why they try to limit it. Because otherwise, every team that lost a game would just get in,
right.
You know, their post-game press conference and would just crush the officials. And that would just get a little old really fast. You know, so I think that you got to – that's why the rule, to me, is in there, and that's why the fines are levied. They don't want to turn it into a game of officiating, and they want to take some of the attention away from the officials. But you certainly can't stop the fans from being critical of officials. And college football – you know, their biggest problem is that, you know, they make mistakes on the field just like everybody else might do, but their replay system is so antiquated and, you know, it's just not – they don't end up getting the call right most of the time. Rocky Long used to just hate it every time they went to review. I mean, they'd go to review something and Rocky would be standing on the sidelines and he'd be looking at me like, what in the hell are they going to come up with this time? You know, and that's kind of the way it is. And you know, I think every coach in college football has to deal with it. But I just wish college football would figure it out. Get some guy in the sky, can talk to the official, look at the replay, and get it right. That's all. It's not that tough.
I agree, Tony. I'm going to take the fans out of it because, of course, the fans can criticize. But should referees be open to criticism from coaches and people of the like?
Listen, not in the game of football, I don't necessarily think so. As Chris said, you got to protect the coaches from themselves. A, B, in football, I feel like college officials take more without giving it back than any other official in sports. right? You do that to a baseball umpire, he's got his mask off, he's letting everybody know he's talking to you. You do that to an NBA official, he can talk back to you. You do it to NFL, a lot of times they have to focus on the play at hand, and they can only take a beating verbally from coaches more so than give it back a lot of times. And I've heard it a couple times given back, but not very often from football officials. I think Chris is right. You got to prevent the head coaches from every week in a Sunday presser or Monday presser going in on officials and having that be how coaches decide to attack referees moving forward.
I mean, a retweet for $25,000, that seems like a lot.
You know what? Tony's right. Tony's right, though, about officials and college football especially. I mean, imagine the sideline official doing the Alabama game and has Nick Saban just screaming every possible thing at him.
How often have we seen that?
I mean, and you never see them throw a flag. They don't seem like it doesn't seem like, at least as you said, Tony, in basketball, I can turn around and give Nick Saban a technical foul and cost his team a couple of points. But in football, right. I mean, they don't even give him a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct. They just stand there and take it.
That is very true. Number four. Let me see. I don't know what just came out of my mouth right there. But
what was that?
I don't know. It sounded like this.
I want a new intro tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. You better record that one.
Oh, wow. Astros.
It was at 4:45 exactly.
All right, I'm writing it down. Astros star George Springer is rumored to be out on the Astros and will not return next season. That's the rumor. Springer's a great player, but he was also part of the Astros teams that cheated. So, Tony, at first, there are going to be teams that want him for sure, but will his association with the cheating ways follow him wherever he goes?
Oh, yes, it will follow him, at least early on. But if I'm George Springer, I'm getting as far away from Houston as I possibly can. Because here's one thing that's for sure. If he stays, no one will ever forget what he was a part of. At least if he goes to a different team, there's going to be a generation of kids that don't remember him with the Houston Astros and will have to be told by somebody older that, hey, he was a part of that team. Listen, I'm on the record saying I've always been a big fan of George Springer. I played against him in the minors, watched him come up. I know the type of dude he is. That being said, his name is still attached to this scandal one way or another. But if I'm him, I'm getting out of there to give myself a chance to not have people look at me and think of my time in Houston.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think his cheating ways or his association with cheating ways is going to follow him wherever he goes?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, you know, he goes to Detroit or something and, you know, hits 211 through the month of May, you know.
There's going to be some trash cans out there.
People are going to bring it up, but... you know, that's the deal that the Astros made with the devil.
Yeah.
And all those guys are going to have to wear this thing, you know, kind of forever. But Springer, I think, less so than some of the other guys like Altuve, Bregman, and Correa. It's not that Springer didn't cheat, but at least he didn't mouth off about it afterwards like the other guys did.
Right.
I mean, the other guys all doubled down on it.
Whereas Springer just kind of took
his medicine.
Don't take my shirt off.
Those guys are never going to hear the end of it.
That's such an important point, Chris, because we've talked about this, right? It goes back to the steroid time. Remember Andy Pettit just came out, fessed up, and then got over, moved on. Everybody else kept lying about it. And we still remember everybody that lied. We very rarely bring up Andy Pettit's name, and that's because he took his medicine, as Chris said, and went away. And that's exactly what it seemed like George Springer did. And it also helps that he went out and had a tremendous season right after that. Whereas Altuve struggled, Bregman struggled, and those two guys were the mouthpieces, other than Correa, that spoke on it. And I just think that matters in this case in terms of people wanting to remembering and not remembering. They're going to remember the dudes that, even after it, didn't seem very apologetic, and that won't be forgotten. George Springer wasn't one of those guys, however.
That's very true. Good points by both of you guys. Mostly by Chris on that one, just going to be honest.
It was. It was all Chris.
Because Chris is always very critical of me congratulating you on your opinion. Nick Foles and the Bears did not look good in their loss to the Rams last night, and rumors were swirling about something Brian Griese said on the ESPN broadcast. Here is what he said.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
In the first question to head coach Matt Nagy, yes, the reporters asked him about this, and he said, quote, I don't know. Whenever you talk to Nick, you'll have to see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he'll probably explain what he meant by that, end quote. Nick Foles was asked, and he said it was a miscommunication, even though that was a pretty specific conversation that him and Brian Griese apparently did not have. So, Chris, what do you think is the real story here?
I think Matt Nagy is still the second most disliked coach in the NFL. You know, when I'm talking about his players and the relationship he has. And I think there's probably a little truth to what Nick Foles is saying here. How he wishes he could take it back. But, you know, when you say something like that, you're basically saying, hey, he's sending in plays, but I don't have the right blocking to get that play off. And I gotta audible to something else, and I don't have the freedom to do it.
And I'm the guy getting killed out here.
Yeah, I mean,
by Aaron Donald.
That's a pretty critical quote by Nick Foles. And if you watch that offense last night, they looked helpless, hopeless. You know, like they had nothing. And I think, you know, the Bears are 5-2, but they're doing it on defense and special teams and all that kind of stuff. And Nick Foles has been mediocre at best. Mitch Trubisky was mediocre at worst. So, you know, the Bears have issues, but I think the biggest issue they have is the relationship that those players have with that coach. I still think it's a problem in Chicago, just not as noticeable because they're 5-2 and the Jets are 0-7.
Good point. Tony, what do you think is the real story between Foles and Nagy and Greasy and all that?
You know, sometimes when you start to become a grizzled vet, you have less of a filter. I think Nick Foles got caught without his filter, and then when it was regurgitated on air on national TV, I'm sure that raised a lot of eyebrows. And
a lot.
I'm sure he wanted that quote back where he could have said it a little bit differently, but I think Grizz is right. He probably said exactly what he meant, that Nagy's calling plays that he doesn't have enough time to execute. There's not enough time, not enough protection for it. And so he has to find other means to get out of that play. So I'm sure he wants that comment back, but I think it's also probably the truth.
You're absolutely right. There was a point last night where Nick Foles was trying to throw out of the end zone, and Matt Nagy called a play where the guy had to, like, run 10 yards and then stop and then get going again, which is just not enough time for him to do anything. And he overthrew that ball, but we'll see what happens in Chicago.
Number two.
Jerry Jones does his weekly radio call into our sister station in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan, and things got a little testy this morning. Here is what happened.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line. Where
just overall. Where, when
seriously,
these...
But seriously. Where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. There's not a – well, just shut up and let me answer it. No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer. Let's move on.
He later apologized for telling the host to shut up.
But don't think he should have.
I don't think he should have either. I mean, he's understandably frustrated, and some NFL experts are, you know, thinking the world's ending.
That was a lazy
ending.
Question.
Yeah.
You think it was?
And then the guy interrupted him like four times when he was trying to answer.
Oh, well, that's great because I'm changing my question because I thought you guys were going to answer the same way. But, Tony, you're up first. Was that a fair question?
I don't think it was. I mean, let me take that back. I guess it's a fair question to ask, is there a leadership void? But that really wasn't what he wanted to ask. He wanted to ask about the head coach, but he didn't have
what
the
do you
goal.
Mean, the O-line? The defense line? The special teams line?
And I think that's what Jerry sensed that's what he was talking about, was the head coach. And because he didn't have the goal to actually say that, Jerry went after his neck a little bit. and he prefers it by saying, what are you talking about, the offensive line?
The O-line,
he
exactly the D-line.
He knew exactly what the host was asking. But because the host didn't ask the question, he gave Jerry the out. And
interesting.
I just think if he really wanted to, the real question that he wanted to ask was, is there a leadership problem with your head coach? And he didn't go there for whatever reason. I don't know if McCarthy was later going to be on the show or whatever the case may
good
be.
Good point, too.
But that's what he wanted to ask, and I think that rubbed Jerry the wrong way because he just didn't have the goal to ask it.
Chris, what do you think? Is that a fair question for them to ask?
I think it's a crappy, lousy, lazy question.
I had no idea this was going to be your guys' response.
I honestly really feel that. And you know what? The good news for those guys, whoever hosts that show down there, is that they get Jerry
Shan
Jones.
Shan and RJ.
On, right. Well, they get him on once a week, and they pay a ton of money to get it, and, you know, they get him on. The bad news is if you're going to have him on, you got to ask the guy straight questions, and you got to have the guts to ask a tough question when the team is 2-5. It's fun to interview Jerry Jones when the team is 5-2, but when they're 2-5 and they just got boat raced by Washington, and who's another 2-5 team, and they got no quarterback, no offensive line, a defense that doesn't try, a coach who's clueless, it's pretty tough to ask Jerry Jones questions, but, you know, that's what you signed up for. So stick in there and ask some good questions. And I don't blame Jerry Jones for answering the way he did. And, you know, he was interrupted so many different times that I don't blame him for getting a little terse and upset.
You mean the offensive line, the defensive line, the special teams?
No, wait, Jerry, I'm trying to ask you. No, shut up. I'm trying to answer your question.
Will you just let me answer the question? Shut up. I just love Jerry a little bit.
I think he had every right to say that.
Number one was something quick. The NBA, Danny Green, Lakers, was on a podcast with Raja Bell, and they asked him about starting the season December 22nd. He said that there's going to be a lot of resting for the Lakers stars if that's the case. Tony, or Chris, first, we don't have enough time. We'll talk about it on the other side. I tried to rush through that, and that was just a dumb idea. I should have just cut losses. Like we're doing now.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
All right. Good first question there, Scrammy. I'll think it through. We'll come back and reset the show for you at top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.